Good morning, church. This is week four of our series that we are calling 12, Our Future Together, where we are sharing the 12 words that define who we are as a church. Last week, we finished our mission statement, which is pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, participate with the Holy Spirit. Every word of that statement was selected very carefully and purposely. We believe it is important for everyone who attends this church to have the heart of David as he wrote Psalm 63. He writes, "With passion I pursue and cling to you because I feel your grip on my life. I keep my soul close to your heart." It was not in a time of comfort or ease that David wrote these words. He wrote them while he was hiding in the wilderness, fleeing from his son who was trying to kill him. For each of us to pursue the Father with the same passion in the middle of a confusing world, that is who we want to be as a church. And this is only possible through a relationship with Jesus. Together, through Jesus, we will pursue the Father. As we do so and see all the Father is doing in our lives, it is important to invite others to join us. Remember the Samaritan woman who Jesus spoke with at the well. He told her that he could give her living water and she would never, ever thirst again. He was offering himself as Savior, as Messiah, the one from God who would take away the sins of the world. And you know what? She got it. Not only did she get it, but she couldn't wait to tell others. She couldn't wait to tell her friends and family. John 4 tells us this, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people," imagine the passion and the excitement as she shared these words. She said, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way to him. Then the scripture tells us many more became believers. As followers of Jesus, the same passion that gripped the Samaritan woman's heart for her friends should grip our hearts too as we proclaim Jesus. We all have people in our lives who need to know Jesus, and our mission is to tell them. We will do that as a church when we gather, but it is also something that we can do one-on-one with friends, family members, neighbors, and coworkers. We will know that is happening when we hear story after story of lives being transformed. As we bless our world, we will see the fruit. We are going to teach you a simple strategy for sharing your faith called Bless in the weeks, months, and years that follow. You will hear much more about this. So the first four words are pursue the Father and then proclaim Jesus. And last week we finished the mission statement by adding the final three, participate with the Holy Spirit. Remember the big idea from last week? The Holy Spirit lives in you and guides you. He will empower you to do greater things. The Holy Spirit is our helper and teacher. He will remind us of Jesus' teachings. He will guide us and empower us to do greater things than even Jesus did. I can't even wrap my head around that truth. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will do even greater things than Jesus did. Henry and Richard Blackaby suggest that God has always confronted people with his agenda for their lives. Those who adjust their lives or participate to God's will through the Holy Spirit experience God working in and through them in a dimension they could never, ever have anticipated. So the first seven of the 12 words that define our future together are pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, participate with the Holy Spirit. Today we will add the next three, and they come from our vision statement. A vision statement looks a little bit different than the mission as it looks forward and creates an image of the ideal future state that we wish to achieve and answers these questions. What does God want to use us to do? What do we want our church to look like? Where are we headed? And this might be my favorite question. Where do we want to be 1, 5, and 10 years from now? The vision and mission statements are the cornerstones for all decision-making. They ask us, does this line up with who we are and why we exist and what we are attempting to achieve? After today, there will only be two words left, and you don't want to miss next week because they're our new church name. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for this time together this morning. And as we dive into our vision of who we are in the future, I pray that you would open our eyes, you would open our ears and our hearts to what you have for us this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would cover this place and we would sense your presence. Your Spirit would teach us and instruct us as we hear and learn together. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Not bad for everything going wrong this morning, right? You would never know. Well, I haven't spoken yet, so we'll see how it goes. My name is Josh Rutherford. I am the assistant pastor in my residency here at this church. I will let you know, speaking of how things go, that is my biggest fear this morning is that I will accidentally say the name because we have been saying it a lot as a staff over the past few weeks. Instead of saying Watermark, we've been saying this new name. So as much as been part of my vocabulary, I'm going to just be saying this church this morning just to keep it nice and simple and try to avoid that. So we'll see how it goes. I made it through first service. We'll see how it goes here. But as Paul alluded to already, spoke about, we have gone through our mission, and this week we are going to be covering our vision. What is the vision of our church moving forward? Some of you have already heard some of these phrases already being used, some of these terms being used, but our vision statement going forward is that we desire to be an undeniable force of God's hope, healing, and grace, impacting generations to come. So this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about, those three key words of hope, healing, and grace. Two things that we'll be going through this morning. We're going to be going in the story in Luke 5 to look at how Jesus extended hope, healing, and grace. That's an important thing that we're going to dive into. But one thing I want to do as well, I know Paul was talking about the future of our church. That's a very important thing. But for me personally, when I hear hope, healing, and grace, I already think about things that have been happening here at this church. I know that you all have been very receptive when I've stood up here and shared pieces of my testimony of what God's done in my life. And so I would love this morning, as a part of this message, to be able to share with you the ways in which God has provided hope and healing and grace in and through this church, the ways that I've seen that even in just my short 2 years here. But to put some context into what's happening in Luke 5 this morning, we're going to first start with Luke chapter 4, verse 40. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Something was happening. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth, and he started out by healing people, by meeting the needs of people, and word quickly spread. They heard about this incredible prophet who was bringing healing to people, and so people came from all over, these large crowds. And so here today, as a church, we want to base our ministry based on how Jesus did ministry. We want people to be able to hear, okay, what's happening at this church? What's happening? How is there hope and healing and grace? How can we find that? How is that a possible connection? I will speak to the tension if you're maybe a first-time guest or maybe you haven't made the decision to make this your church home. Now that might be kind of awkward of, oh, great, they're going to talk about how great they are for the next 30 minutes. As Trevor said already, as we talked about last week, we are participating with the Holy Spirit. And so really, this is just a microcosm. What happens here at this church is just a drop in the ocean of what is happening in God's church in this world. The many ways that he is extending hope and healing and grace through his kingdom here on earth. And we are just participating in that. But here we see pretty evidently that there is hope. Hope in this story that a man who had no hope elsewhere found. In Luke 5, starting in verse 15, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. We see that this man has hope because he has full submission to God. His posture, his physical posture, he falls face first on the ground. And complete reverence and complete submission to God. I don't know if you've ever been in a moment where you fall face first on the ground in front of someone, but clearly that would be a moment of desperation. But not only that, he uses a specific word here in this translation is Lord, In the original Greek, it is kyrios. Kyrios. I got this. I am not a Greek expert. But it is a greeting that a servant would give their master. Someone who had ownership would be greeted this way by their servant. And so here, just from hearing what Jesus was doing, this is a man who was at the end of his rope, who had been out of options, and there's hope that is spoken into his life. He hears about Jesus, he wants to go and see him, and he falls before him and says, "Master, if you are willing." And we see he has this hope because he doesn't say, "If you can, if you're able," he says, "No, if you're willing." He knew he had hope that Jesus could heal. He also recognized in this bold statement that it was whether Jesus was willing to do that. Total submission here. The first example that I will share from my experience here at this church is I have seen hope in our young adult ministry program. I have the awesome opportunity of being able to be the young adult pastor. And it's just been an incredible journey of being able to steward and lead these 18 plus 20 somethings and this incredible journey of life. 20 something is a weird time of life to be in. There's a lot of changes. You might get married. You might go through college and might have kids. There's a lot of things that are going on. It's such an important part of life. And a lot of times, and this isn't to disparage any other churches, a lot of times something like a young adult ministry falls through the cracks. And one thing that I've heard time and time again, I've even actually heard it this week. This past week we had Resonate. It's our monthly worship service. There was someone who showed up new this time and had a conversation with them after. And I've heard this comment so many times. "I didn't know something like this existed." And it's been awesome to hear that so many times, where there's just examples of people who are maybe even newer to the Western New York area, moved here for a job. I think of one in particular. They moved here for a job. They didn't have any sort of connection, but then they got involved in a small group. They got involved at the church, and they found a group of peers of other young adults, and they are part of this community. They have hope in this community, and more importantly, they have hope in Jesus Christ. A faith that they had that was maybe lukewarm to start, they are now on fire, and we are seeing this all throughout young adult ministry, and it's amazing to see these young people just on fire for God. The incredible thing about hope in Jesus is that it is not circumstantial. Here is a man who, again, is desperate, but he says, "If you are willing." Can you imagine if we had hope like that? If we had hope that was, no matter what, however you answer this, God, even if you don't do things the way that I think it should happen, I still have hope in you. I still hope and believe that you can do a powerful thing through this. Imagine if our prayers look like that. Both as a church, both individually, we have this steady faith, unshakable faith in God, this hope. The second term that we're going through today is healing. Now, obviously, this seems pretty obvious in this story that there is healing that happens. Don't mean to give too much of a spoiler here. We'll just go right into it. Verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." So here it's easy to identify that there is this instantaneous physical healing. This is something that we can see. Jesus did a lot of this. This was to show his power. It was also to meet the needs of people. Whether they were paralytic or blind, or here in this case had leprosy, he was able to physically heal someone in a very big way. But again, let's pay attention to the words that are being used. This man doesn't say, "Please heal me. Please remove this leprosy from my body." Says, "Make me clean." And Jesus says, "Be clean." There is significance to this because as a leper, he was impure. There were different levels of impurity. If you handled maybe certain meats, you would be impure for a day. You had to do this ritual in order to be able to go into the temple. Or if you handled the body of a deceased, for example, you would have to be you would be impure, essentially, by the law that was written for a week. You would have to go through cleansing rituals before you could be admitted back into the temple. If you were a leper, you were just impure. You were defiled. There was no way that you could be a part of the temple. There was no way that you could be a part of regular society. They had their own leper colonies at times as well. Imagine the brokenness there of seeing other people who are going through the same thing you are, or even worse, you see the future of what's going to happen to you. But this is a man who didn't just want to have a physical healing. He wanted to be clean. There was separation. There are some parallels to a much smaller extent with COVID. Maybe it's not as much of a big deal now, probably not, but I remember when COVID was first a big thing, if someone so much as cleared their throat in your presence, it would be like, oh, get back, right? Like we were just so worried and nervous about this. So imagine there is this man who approaches and his skin is even falling off. And imagine just how you would be received if you were in that position. People would just tell you to get back, stay away. But here's a man who is looking for healing and looking for restoration into the body of Christ. There are different forms of healing. There could be physical, there could be mental, emotional, spiritual. It's important to recognize that here in this moment and overall, Jesus healed holistically. He looked at all of the man's needs. He healed him completely. And so maybe there might be some tension in your life right now where you've been praying for this healing. It hasn't been instant. Look for ways that Jesus is still healing you. Maybe it's not physical. Maybe you still have that diagnosis. But look for ways that he can bring people into your life, the ways that he has been an encouragement to you, the way that he has given you a peace beyond all understanding. Because we serve a God who heals. It's on different timelines as well. It's worth mentioning. It's not always instant. It's something that can happen over time. It might even happen in eternity. And one of the ministries that I'm involved with that I think of when I think of healing is the student ministry. I'm involved when I can be at the Loft. I'm at the Hub regularly. I love working with our student ministry. And if ever there were a generation that is inheriting a broken world, it's this youngest one right now. But the incredible, encouraging part is how proactive they are in their healing, how honest they are about healing. Pay attention to this stuff. Look at on social media, if you're on social media, how much mental health awareness gets mentioned, especially by young people. They are talking about this. They are passionate about it. On Thursday nights, I sit at a table with people who are open about their struggles, these young men who are open about what they're going through. One even shares his own health, mental health diagnosis with us openly, and there's no judgment whatsoever. Because this is a generation that clings to healing, that believes that Jesus can heal, and we have to be honest and walk through that. I love how, as a church, we have a heal ministry. Our own Christy Kaufman is the director of heal ministry, and there are pamphlets available this morning that detail even just some of the different ministries that are available under the umbrella of Heal Ministry. They're available at the connection table this morning. But whatever you're going through, whether it be the grief of a loss of a loved one or divorce, or maybe you're not quite at divorce yet, but there's a broken relationship, maybe there's an addiction. I love that this church is open and honest about the need to heal. So many churches focus on evangelism and discipleship, and that's so important. Evangelism meaning I'm going to go reach the lost. Discipleship is once they receive Jesus, we build them up so that they can go out and reach the lost. But we can't ignore healing. And here we see that Jesus did not ignore healing. So it's a process that we would love to walk through with you. Going back to what Jesus said, to offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded, to go back to the temple and to present himself clean. An important thing to note about the priest's role. The priest was not someone who made people clean. The priest is someone who recognized that there was cleanliness and made that decision based on what he saw. It wasn't the priest that did the healing here. This was something that Jesus did. The most incredible priest who ever walked this earth. He did this instantaneous healing in a way that had not been seen. And so please don't be mistaken. There are so many options here, for example, in our heal ministry, but we are not going to heal you. We are going to love you and support you while Jesus heals you. That's how this works with all of this. Finally, there's grace. We are a church of hope, healing, and grace. Without grace, there is no hope, there is no healing. This story doesn't exist without grace. Now, typically when we think about the grace of Jesus, we think about the cross, and that's such a powerful example of grace. It's the strongest example of grace, that a perfect man, fully God, fully human, came here and loved us enough, each one of us enough, to die for our sins and to wipe our slate clean, to wash us clean, that we could be presented at the temple blameless. What a beautiful example of grace that is. But there is grace within this story as well, even in his earthly ministry. Just referencing some of the verses that we've already read. A man came along who was covered with leprosy. Can you imagine that? Covered in leprosy. That paints a pretty ugly picture. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. We read about this earlier, that part of this heal ministry that Jesus was doing is that he would touch people, each one of them. He would touch them and heal them. And even though this man was difficult to look at, there was this issue of impurity. There was this issue of even being contagious. Jesus didn't treat him any differently. He still reached out a hand. He still touched him and loved him. He crossed a line. This dividing line that had separated this man from the rest of society, he was willing to step over it. Can you imagine what we as a church could accomplish if we were willing to cross the line? Whether that be a political line or a racial line, whatever it is, these divisions that we have, if we were willing to step over them, not to correct people, not to bring them into our way of understanding, but to show the love and the grace of Jesus Christ to them. Can you imagine what we could do, church? When I think of grace, all the ministries that I'm personally mentioning, there's so many that happen here. These are just ones that I can personally attest to. All of these have hope, healing, and grace, but the one that comes to mind when I think of grace is South Creek, which is incredibly ironic given the morning that we're having today. Like Maureen mentioned, there were some band members that were sick. We've had some major technical issues that have been a problem. There's been a lot of grace that's needed, but everyone has stepped up to the occasion and done what they needed to. You guys have extended grace to me when I am up here and maybe stumble over my words sometimes or a little bit awkward about things. I know that there are a lot of awkward things that are said or happen. If you've been here the past few months, we could go through a whole list of that. Trevor and I are both guilty of different stories. I'm sure you guys have them, but you have extended grace and we appreciate that. But in a much bigger way, this is such a grace-filled church here at South Creek. Because I know with full confidence that someone could walk through this door who looks different or has a different background and you guys will just love them. That's the way that you've received me. I remember one of the first Sundays I was ever here before this was ever even a thought of me being a resident specifically at South Creek. I remember just coming here and just how welcomed I was and going out to lunch after. And then there was just this big group of introduced themselves as the Creekers and we had lunch together and it was amazing. That's what happens here. There's so much grace that is present here. And it's been awesome to be a part of that. So as we think about hope and healing and grace, as was said earlier this morning, God knows exactly what you need. And as you think about these three things, maybe putting yourself in this position of the man with leprosy, trying to relate to that however best you can. Maybe the, whatever brokenness it is that, that you bring to the table, whatever that you bring before God, what is it that you need this morning? Is it hope? You need hope in something in such a broken world. There, if you look to this world for hope, you will be sorely disappointed. There's so many things that fail us, so many people who fail us because we are so imperfect. But Jesus provides the ultimate hope for all of us. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's healing that you need, whether it be through our heal ministry as we walk along beside you, or it's just something that you realize, man, my prayer life just hasn't been what it was. I've not submitted myself the way that I need to before God and just trusted him with my healing. Whatever that looks like for you. Maybe it's grace. Grace that you've not been able to extend to other people like you should. Or maybe even grace that you've not been able to extend to yourself. Feel like things just haven't gotten back to normal for you yet. You're just not sure where you belong. You don't see your value. You don't see yourself the way God sees you. And you need to step into the love and the grace of a Savior who cared enough to die for you, who accepted you for who you are, and has washed you clean. Wherever you stand with all of that, my prayer is that you lean into that hope and that healing and that grace. I know we talk about the future of our church. I know we're excited about this new name. And by the way, if you don't like spoilers, if you want to get the information as soon as possible, I would recommend you be here next week at 9 o'clock, because we're gonna originally unveil the name. And there are no guarantees that you won't hear it when you're coming in otherwise. But as we talk about the future of this church, my prayer for it is that it continues to do what it's already done. Yes, the name has changed. Yes, there's a mission and a vision that we have. But this isn't something new and extraordinary and different from what we've done. This is just identifying what our makeup is as a church and who we want to be moving forward. That we are a people that collectively and individually trust in the undeniable force of God's hope and healing and grace. Let's pray. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for even in moments like this morning where things just don't seem like they're going right. I know we talk about that from just the stage standpoint, but God, there are so many people here today and so many potential things that could be going wrong. And God, I just pray over all of that, that whatever situation someone may find themselves in, to whatever extent that they can relate to this man in this story, of brokenness, of feeling maybe on the outside looking in, that they would feel loved and welcomed by you, God, with hope, healing, and grace, that they would receive a peace that is beyond any understanding, that whatever is needed this morning in these three very big concepts that we could talk about at length, any of them, whatever people need this morning, that you would provide that. And that ultimately, we would acknowledge that those things come from you, not from anything that we do, but from the power of the Holy Spirit alone. God, we praise you for what you've done in this church. We praise you in anticipation of what you are going to do in this church in the future. Thank you for the many stories sitting here today, the ways that you have worked in our lives, that you have given us this hope that it's not situational. No matter how bad things can be, we know that you are in control. We can trust in you, that your will be done here. Thank you, God, for who you are. As we lift our voices to you, may they be pleasing to your ears. May they be a reflection of our hearts, that we trust in you for our hope and our healing and our grace. In Jesus' name.